17, beginning at verse number 1, says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink." If you would, drop down to verse 8. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of a sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, Write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." We bless you today, God. We thank you for teaching and preaching time. I ask for clear thoughts and clear understanding, now that I would rightly divide your word and rightly apply your word. I also ask that you touch the heart and ears of all that are under the sound of my voice, that your word might settle within, Lord, continuing to shape and mold us to all that you would have us to be. These and all blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you today from these verses. Amen. Maybe if we would look at verse 12 and 13 again. Moses' hands were heavy, took a stone, put it under him. He sat on it. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Verse 13, Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. If I would use the thought today, amen, be together, we win.
Yes, yes.
Encourage the person beside you. Tell them, together we win.
Together we win.
Together we win.
Together we win.
Amen. I believe everybody likes to be a winner. I've said it many times before. I don't think anyone really enjoys losing. Amen. Everybody likes to win. Today, as we continue, amen, trying to point your hearts and minds to the altar, we just want to alert you once again that the altar is the place where the human and the divine interact. Amen. The altar. When you come to the altar, is it an opportunity for me and you as mortal beings to interact with a divine Savior? Amen. Also, we want to remind you that the altar is a place of commitment. People stand and make their wedding vows a lot of times at the altar.
Yes.
Amen. So you are committing yourself one to the other. Amen. Sometimes we come to the altar and we commit our service to the Lord at the altar. Amen. We're at the altar and we pledge that, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the other for you. Amen. This commitment is made at the altar. And as we said on last week, the altar's not only this place up here in front of the church, but I hope you have an altar at home. Amen. In other words, there's a place that you meet with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I understand that He's everywhere, but I'm talking about you delegating a special place and time to meet with the Lord. Amen. You may not be able to do it every day, but it is still the delegated place, amen, that you have set aside that you want to be with the Lord. Your altar can be in your car. Yes, I remember many times, amen, as people used to say, when I was going to work, having church. That's me and Jesus riding down the road.
Yes.
Huh? Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Amen. You just have church right there by yourself. You just talk to the Lord. Amen. And when you talk to Him, He responds, glory to God, and He brings about a change in your life. Amen. So the altar is a place that all of us need to cultivate, or where we can rather cultivate our relationship with the Lord. As I've said, amen, for the month of November, it is my desire as a pastor, as a leader, amen, is to lead the church, to lead this local congregation, hopefully into another step closer in our walk with the Lord.
Amen.
We'll never be grown. We will never complete this journey on this side. So we must continue to grow and to walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our walk is a journey. As we would look at the first verse here that we shared with you, it says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Amen. I want us to look at the journey for a moment. Amen. Taking a journey. When you go on a journey, good things happen, and sometimes bad things happen. I remember some years ago, we took a church trip to Chicago on the church bus, and as we were leaving the meeting, coming back to Virginia, we had been traveling maybe a couple of hours, and the bus had a flat tire. Amen. There we were beside the highway, and you know, sometimes when things don't go right on the journey, you just have to try to make the best of the situation.
That's right.
Amen. So we just got blankets and things out there beside the road, and we just had a nice time right out there beside the road while we were waiting for the tire to be fixed. Amen. So you have to make the best of situations. They will not always be ideal, but you can change the atmosphere.
Amen.
Amen. Complaining wouldn't have got the tire fixed any quicker.
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen. It wouldn't have settled anything any faster. So, amen, we just got blankets and things out, and we sat beside the road. We had some leftover goodies that we had got together, you know, on our way back home. Y'all know how it is getting goodies up when you're traveling. Amen. So we got in those goodies real early. We hadn't been but 2 days, 2 hours on our trip back home. Amen. And so the journey, glory to God, many of us in here today, if we had known some of the things that we would encounter on some of the journey that we've been on, some of us never would have signed up. Huh? I'm going to hit right at home right now, so don't look around. If some of y'all had known your marriage was going to turn out like it was, y'all never would have signed up. Huh?
That's right.
Y'all can say amen. Don't look around.
Amen.
Huh? Somebody said, if I'd have known, he was going to be like that. If I'd have known, she was going to be like that. Huh? But that's the thing about the journey. You don't know what you're going to encounter. You have to learn to adapt.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Because, let me stay with the marriages for a moment since we hit it. Because when you stand at the altar and you say for better, for worse, and all of that long line of things that we as preachers and clergy read off to you, when you say I do, you need to go back and examine all of them things that you said I do to.
Amen.
You know, because if I could just add this right here, you know, because when you get married and you're standing there with the preacher and the congregation, you're not hearing everything that preacher said. All you waiting for him to pause so you can say, I do. You ain't heard nothing he said. Huh? So sometimes getting married is like, you know, contract. You need to go back and read the fine print. Back to the preacher, what did you say when he was up there? Huh? Because if it don't go like you intended, then with the help of the Lord, you have to work it out.
Amen.
Glory be to God. You have to work it out. And so, amen, the children of Israel here was on their journey. Now, I want you to understand, and some of us perhaps already know this, that, amen, it took them 40 years to make a journey that was designed for about 11 days, 10 or 11 days. So we are told here that they are in maybe year number 38 or something, and they have been wandering around in the wilderness for all of that time. A lot of frustration have taken place. Amen. People have become irritable because things are not working out like they thought they would. And several times they told Moses, we wish you had just left us in Egypt.
Amen.
You brought us out here and it's just not working. Amen. And so this is part of that journey. They come to this place called Rephidim, and Rephidim signifies a place of rest. Mm-hmm. Now, you can imagine that perhaps in their mind, they're thinking about, we're going to have an opportunity to rest. But when they get to Rephidim, there is no water there. Mm-hmm. Amen. They hadn't been long left a place, amen, that the water was bitter. And now they're here at this place with no water at all. And the Bible says, amen, that they goes into this discourse with Moses. And, amen, they confronts him. And once again, they hurl out accusations that you brought us out here to die. Amen. Certainly that was not the intent of Moses. He did not know, Moses did not know all that was going to take place on the journey. Amen. The people did not know everything that was going to take place on the journey. They were just tired of being under Egyptian rule. And when someone showed up and said, I can lead you out with God helping me, they all lined up behind him.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, saints of God, we have to stay focused on the Lord. When we take our focus off of him, we are subject to make a wrong turn. Amen. Now, the people begin to complain and to, as I said, hurl accusations against Moses. Here's what happens when you complain. It says it only raises our feelings of stress.
Yes, yes.
When you complain, it only raises your feelings of stress. Whereas prayer quiets our emotions and thoughts and prepares us to listen.
Amen.
Oh, did y'all get that?
Come on, preacher.
Did you get that? How many of you have experienced when you start complaining about something, you know, and you just keep on talking about it? And you keep on, and you get, you know, it just gets worse and worse.
Stressed out.
Because you just continue to complain about it. It raises your level of stress. You continue to stress out about it.
That's right.
Instead of perhaps maybe voicing your disagreement and then moving on. But you know, you'll talk about it for the next 20 minutes. And it only raises your stress.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Glory to God. Whereas if you would go pray, hallelujah, amen, then that would quiet your emotions.
Amen.
If you pray, it would, amen, rearrange your thoughts.
Amen.
Glory to God. And if you pray, it will give you a mind to listen to what the Lord has to say. Tell somebody together, we win.
Together we win.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so we read that first verse there, and as we said, it talks about the water. They didn't have any water. Those verses there, 2-7, talks about, amen, without the water. But now, after they get water, amen, then they come and they are still in Rephidim, and they are attacked by Amalek. Amen. Amalek is a descendant of Esau. And we know the confrontation between Esau and Jacob. Mm-hmm. Amen. There was always fierce, amen, contest, amen, between the two. And so Amalek, the word says that he comes and he fights against Israel. Amen. You're already in a place supposedly of rest, and you're just recovering now. Everybody is calming down now because you got water to drink. Everybody is calming down. But, amen, when you calm down, then the flesh, glory to God, has a tendency to rise up again. Amen. You see, because Amalek, as I said, was a descendant of Esau. Esau represented the carnal nature of man, whereas Jacob represented the spiritual side of
man.
So, amen, Amalek rises up, glory to God, and he fights against the people of God. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you know that on your journey, you have to always be mindful of the attack of the enemy?
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
Be to God. He never rests. He may retreat for a little while, but he's scheming all the time as to how and when he's going to come back.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. That's why when he retreats, amen, we should use the same time to call on the name of the Lord.
Yes,
we should use the same time, thank you, Jesus, to draw nearer unto the Lord. Now, get somebody to hear God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glory be to God. Amen. They were attacked by Amalek. And the Bible said, and I was reading this, amen, I wondered, and I really couldn't come to any conclusion where Moses got this battle plan from. You see, many times, amen, God will speak to his, amen, his men and tell them what to do. But we don't have this here. And we have simply that they were attacked, and then Moses said unto Joshua, choose you some men and go out and fight against Amalek. And when you go out and fight against Amalek, me, amen, and her and Aaron is going up on the hill. Now, we don't hear where God says do any of this, but he does it anyway. The Bible says that the war begins, amen, the battle begins, and Moses and Aaron and Hur are up on a hill. Thank you, Jesus. And Moses is holding up his hands. Many writers, amen, give that the symbolism of prayer. They're saying that Moses had his hand stretched out in prayer unto God.
Yeah.
The Bible says that as long as his hand is up, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, we don't know where this battle plan is coming from, but it seems that God is honoring, amen, this symbol that Moses is giving out. That every time his hand is held up, the children of Israel were winning the battle. Glory to God. But how many of you know in here today that you can't hold your arms up for so long and they get tired? The Bible said they got heavy. We know about that. We know that if we hold our hands up, after a while, they're going to feel like a ton of lead. They're going to feel like ain't no way I can hold them up any longer. Mm-hmm. So this is where Moses was. He would hold his hands up. The children of Israel would, amen, advance in the battle. But because he got tired, he would drop his hand. And when he dropped his hand, Amalek and his men would come in and they would begin to win the battle. Moses lifted his hands up again. The children of Israel would, amen, begin to win the battle. How many of you know that if you lift your hands in prayer unto God, my God, that, amen, God energizes us. God will energize you. God will position you, amen, to overcome the difficulties in your life. That's why every now and then, when you're praying, even in your home, every now and then, you just need to lift up your hands. Glory be to God. So the Bible said Moses dropped his hand, Israel began to lose again. So Aaron and Hur said, we got an idea. We're going to fix this thing. They brought a big stone, told Moses to sit down on the stone, because I told you, together we win. Joshua is down in the battle, and we're up here on the mountain. Sit down, Moses, and rest. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get on one side. That's what Aaron is saying. Y'all allow me to do that. I'm going to get on one side and hold your hand up, Moses. Her going to be on the other side. He's going to hold your hand up, because together we got to win this battle. God didn't bring us all the way out of Egypt. God didn't bring us these 30 some years, hallelujah, for us to be defeated now. Glory be to God. He intended for us to go all the way, but we got to work together on this thing. We see that Moses, our leader, is getting tired. He holds his hand as long as he can, and when he drops his hand, the enemy advances. But we can't keep allowing this seesaw battle back and forth. We've got to do something that's going to give us total victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody in here today want total victory? If you want total victory, just shout hallelujah. Lord, I praise you today. So the Bible said that Aaron held his hand up on one side, Hur held it up on the other side, and the Israelites, Joshua and the Israelites, they conquered Amalek, amen, and the Amalekites. I'm telling you that if we work together, we can win. Can somebody shout glory? Glory! Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says that after, amen, this battle, after this defeat of Amalek, God spoke to Moses and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it down in a book, because Joshua is down there on the battlefield. So the next time y'all have a conversation, tell Joshua what went on. Write it down in a book for a memorial. Not only am I giving you victory today, but Amalek and his people will not surface on the face of the earth. I'm going to wipe them out completely. I want you to know, saints of God, that if we come together and call on the name of God, that there's some things in our life, some tests and trials that we're going through, that God can wipe them out. Hallelujah. Never to surface in your life again. My God, you ought not be wrestling against the same thing that you were wrestling against 20 years ago. You should have overcome it by now, and there should be new battles on the horizon. Can somebody tell God, thank you? I got to move on out of here. So the Bible says that after God spoke to Moses, that Moses built an altar. There we go. That we're talking about the altar. Because an altar also is a place for thanksgiving. The altar is a place for giving praise to God. And he called it Jehovah Nissi. God is our banner. Thank you, Jesus. And as we were praising the day, I looked over and Deacon Calvin had the towel in the air. The banner of God. God is our banner. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah, meaning this self-existent one who reveals himself. In other words, God reveals him own self when he gets ready. And Nisi means a conspicuous banner. In other words, something that is shown, something that is expressed. So that's why you see a banner sometimes is always lifted up. That's why, glory to God, you lift up the banner and you declare that victory is in the name of the Lord. Anybody believe that today? I said, does anybody believe that today? Victory is in the name of the Lord, because Jesus is our banner. We fight, we live, we move under the authority of God Almighty. So we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, how can we lift up Jesus? I don't see him around here. How can we lift him up? Well, we lift him up with our praise. Can somebody shout praise?
Praise!
I said we lift him up with our praise. Here's what we have here. Psalm 63:3 said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Praise in this particular verse, people of God, means to shabbat God. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard of that word? Shabbat. Shabbat. Amen. To be loudly and triumphantly shout glory and honor unto God. Every now and then we need to shabbat God. Every now and then if we're going to lift him up, for he declared in the word of God that if I be lifted up, God have mercy. Jesus said it himself. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. In other words, he would draw everyone that will heed to his call. So we got to shabbat him. I wonder, do we have any shabbat praises in here today? Any shabbat? Hey, Lord. Shabbat means to loudly and triumphantly. Amen. Shout glory and honor unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses built that altar. And he said, Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. He's my strength. He's everything that I need. And so today, people of God, when we want to praise the Lord, that's why I told you in the beginning, we have to get a little radical sometimes. We have to shabbat God. Look at somebody and ask him, are you going to shabbat him today? Come on, are you going to shabbat him today? Come on, say it again, are you going to shabbat him today? Glory to God, pray against that stubborn spirit. Hallelujah, I pray against that rebellious spirit. I pray against that contrary spirit, because some of us pray it every week. Bring it right up in the house of God. Contrary, that rebellious spirit right in the house of God. But I'm praying that God would move it out, because this is a house of prayer. This is a time of giving God praise. And if I could get about 10 of you to just jump on your feet and shabbat God. be up. I can get by with your help. See, some of y'all been holding back. Well, some of y'all been holding back, but I want the one that's been letting go. I want you to let go twice now. The other one that's been holding back. Y'all gonna be there? One, two, three. Come on, somebody.
I want it,
Lord.
I want it, Lord.
I want it, Lord.
I want it, Lord.
I want it, Lord.